keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you all for tuning in and welcome to the show. Welcome back. If you're one of our regulars, if you're first timer, feel free to call and join in on the conversation. We have open phone lines tonight. You could reach us at 718-717-8296. What do you want to talk about? This is what this anti-media movement is all about. News that the people want to hear. So any topics, we had some great calls on our last show on Monday. You know, really can open up new ideas that we don't always mention on the show. There's just so much to go over, man. There's so much injustice around the world that it's up to us to talk about it, have conversation. I mean, one simple conversation can have untold effects on people that, you know, in your life. Or, you know, you're at the bar. The other night I was at the bar and I met this guy that was in the Navy, and we get into this hour-long conversation about the role of America as the world's police, you know, and this guy, I mean, I there was a few times where he got a little bit angry and stuff, but we kept it cool and we had a very good conversation, and he made some good points, I made some good points, and I think we both took some away from it, you know. And so little things like that, sharing our link for our radio show, getting new people to listen, talking to people out when you're out and about, sharing the information online, whether it's articles or books or whatever. This is a great way to continue the momentum of this rising, independent, decentralized media movement, and we're lucky to be a part of it. Also, thanks to Jules and UCY, the awesome radio station that you're listening to us through. You guys can bookmark us, bookmark UCY, and listen to all the other awesome hosts that are on this station 7 days a week. There's a guy on Friday that does, like, he infuses hip-hop with news, with, like, conscious messages. I mean, this is some really good content. So, yeah, UCY is doing a great job. Make sure you support, bookmark, listen back. And catch us Monday through Friday as well. Same time, different hosts. We're here Monday and Wednesday. Me, DB, we have Jake Anderson in the house. How's it going, man?
Good, Nick. Very happy to be here, as per usual.
And then we also got Manny Aguilar in the house. He's one of our regulars. He's our special co-host this month. How you doing tonight, Manny?
Hey, Nick. Just recovering from kind of a division meeting, you know, basically beating, I should say, down in San Diego and stuff like that. You know, it's sometimes I can understand, you know, about, you know, doing a good show for people and stuff like that. But then I also see the other side of how some people went in the ranks, you know, keep the moment divided and stuff like that for their own agenda, which is kind of sad. But other than that, you know, I can't let them put my spirits down because I do what I do best. And, you know, I just have, you know, basically a lot of support out there and stuff like that, including you and stuff like that. And I appreciate that, you know, I appreciate the friendship and everything. So let's do a good show and stuff like that. And I'm sure that TV will join us here in a while. Take it away.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and it was great having you in the studio last week, and we got to hang out after, drink a few beers, and you chilled out with me all night, pretty much. It was good hanging out with you, man. And you know, that's one of the things that we face in this movement is there's always going to be infighting, and there's always going to be division and stuff. And we have to keep in mind that whenever that stuff starts to take place, and a lot of people will unknowingly be participating in a situation that could like derail a movement or split it apart. We got to remember, whenever we're fighting against each other, we're helping the machine. And if we're all fighting against this machine, we got to keep in mind that, you know, the whole point is that we're trying to take the machine down, not each other. Now, of course, there's going to be disagreements, and in the activist movement, it's really frustrating because people are, you know, these are some of the most passionate people in the world. They all have great intentions. They all have good hearts, but their passion can sometimes get in the way of logic and reasoning, and you know, sometimes we have to just take a step out of the situation to get a grasp of what's really going on, you know. And you know, I've dealt with it personally here in San Diego multiple times. I mean, every movement I've ever been a part of, man. I mean, it happens, you know. But you know, we always find a way to work through it eventually. And that's one of the things that we have to consider too. Is as we continue growing, as the independent media continues to grow, and as the independent media grows, that means there's going to be more and more people that know what the hell's going on, which means there's going to be more and more activists out there, more and more people that are going to be wanting to join up in these organizations to combat injustice, whether it's people out protesting in SeaWorld, because here in San Diego people do that. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I've never been out to the protests against SeaWorld here in San Diego because personally I'm not like a huge critic of SeaWorld. I think, yeah, it's wrong that they have these whales the way they have them and the dolphins and all that stuff, but that's not one of my main objectives as an activist to go out and oppose SeaWorld. Then again, there are a lot of people here in San Diego that is their main objective, and I may or may not agree with them, but for me to go out and try to undermine what they're trying to do, that's when you're like overstepping the bounds, you know, because unless we're talking about activists that are hate activists or people that are like out there trying to, you know, because activists come of every you know, from every side of the political spectrum. There's some activists out there that you're really going to disagree with. I mean, there's Republican activists, there's Tea Party activists, there's Democrat activists, and you know, some of these are going to be people that you really disagree with and stuff. But you know, when
so
it comes
save
to
your vitriol for
when
them.
It comes, yeah, save it up for that. When it comes to this nonpartisan stuff, like the people opposing SeaWorld and stuff like that. I mean, we shouldn't be attacking them. We may not want to attack SeaWorld per se, but we our target should be on the bigger picture, man. And people get caught up in this idea that, oh well, why, you know, let's fight within each other instead of fighting against the enemy. I mean, it's like the dumbest thing ever.
People got to put
Matt,
their
unfortunately is experiencing that, you know, a little bit here in San Diego. But man, just keep in mind that it's something that happens here all the time, man. So I don't feel like you're being singled out too much about it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that and stuff like that. Was really happy, you know, to really, you know, collaborate with you and stuff like that because you're from the heart and stuff like that. Really was also, you know, basically was really pleased to have met Jay Anderson in person. So shout out to Jay Anderson.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. And yeah, good to hear you again, man. And yeah, just remember, like Nick was saying, like the push and pull of social evolution, man. It's gonna get dirty at times, but this is our end game is, you know, we're talking decades, hundreds of years, even.
Exactly.
This is part of an evolution, and people just got to learn to put their egos on the back burner and keep the train of progress moving forward. You know,
we can't let our egos get in the way of our evolution. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a you know, a a good way of putting it. We're going to have a guest on the call a little bit later. Baron Hines from What the F Really in the Anti-Media is going to call in. We're probably going to go over some foreign policy stuff. But our first big news story of the day comes from Jake. This is going to be probably our top story on the Anti-Media tomorrow. So keep an eye out for this story. It's about Bank of America and some shady dealings that they've been now caught doing because there's been a few whistleblowers, right?
That's cool, man. Yeah, it's not hot off the presses. There's been other groups that have been covering this. This is certainly not, you know, like I said, this is not within the last week, possibly even month. But I think the vast majority of people won't have heard about this. And essentially, what it boils down to is about six ex-Bank of America employees came out and essentially let loose on their former employee and how Bank of America basically has been reacting to the HAMP program, which is the Home Affordable Modification Program, the point of which is to reduce foreclosures and try and get people loans on houses so that they don't go bankrupt. And essentially what these six former employees came out and said was that the bank regularly uses a tactic called a blitz to deny thousands of applications at a time. And they do anything they can to prevent they'll mislead people, they'll discourage people to flat out deny the applications. They'll do anything they can to get these things to not go through because they don't want people not foreclosing, basically, to put it as crudely as one could possibly can. And shockingly, these employees said that they were actually employees who denied applications and pushed for foreclosures were rewarded with cash bonuses and gift cards for their efforts. Some of these bonuses were up to, you know, $500, which, of course, is small change for Bank of America. But what an insidious little...
So, you know, the thing to me that really stands out is that, like, the most messed up part is that taxpayers bailed out Bank of America.
Absolutely.
Right, in 2009.
Yes.
The bailout that Obama carried through, initially it was, a lot of it was designed by the Bush administration. Obama carried it out. Both parties are guilty here. Let's mm-hmm. keep in mind. I mean...
Absolutely.
I know we have a lot of people that are on the left and the right and stuff, but we got to keep clear that we're not supporting of any political party.
When it comes to banks, they're both.
Sometimes we'll applaud a politician that says something good or does something good, like we did when Rand Paul did that filibuster against drones. And, you know, for that day and maybe the next, we were like, yeah, this guy is doing the right thing because we shouldn't be having drones killing American citizens. But then, of course, the following day, he comes out and he says, well, I don't care if they drone somebody outside of a 7-Eleven or a liquor store. It's like, okay, dude. Sorry, man. Okay, one day was good enough. We're not going to applaud any of these political parties because they're both completely corrupted, completely trashed. But we bail them out. We pay for this bailout with our tax money, and then they leverage it even worse. They leverage it on the kids that aren't even born yet. And then this company turns around after being bailed out by us and is basically screwing over all the people that got screwed over because of what the banks did, basically, right? Because this whole housing crisis, the whole economic crisis of 2008, 2009, it was caused by bad banking policies.
Right? Indeed, it was.
And it was caused by corrupt politicians, bad banking policies, greedy CEOs.
Well, and these derivatives that were created by, you know, magicians, basically, the Wall Street magicians that no one can interpret except for them. Anyway, go ahead.
So,
oh, yeah, one person that you can talk to, because we're doing and basically back activists up down here in Los Angeles, Nick and Jay, is Carlos, aka the mailman. And I'm sure Nick's been keeping up with his fight along with his people on the foreclosures and stuff like that. You know, we were up there in Sacramento fighting it with the governor and stuff like that. So he'd be a great guest to talk about foreclosures, you know, Carlos the mailman, you know.
I think, I'm down to talk to anyone named the mailman, frankly. But yes, let's talk to him. I think just two quick points that I think people need to understand about this. One is that there is a foreclosure quota at Bank of America. a foreclosure quota. So the same way cops have their quota of tickets, employees at Bank of America have a quota of foreclosures that they're expected to go through. Additionally, the bank is accused of sending deceptive sales mailings to homeowners, selling basically mortgage refinancing programs that would add tens of thousands to a homeowner's loan. So essentially, they've been caught red-handed with what could amount to criminal activity, which, of course, is not surprising for Bank of America.
Let me ask you a question on that. When it comes to the quota, is it across the board, you know, Vanilla Brothers and Sisters, Mocha, Dark Chocolate Brothers and Sisters, or is it just across the board?
Well, here's the thing, man. Like looking at this, these numbers and stuff, it pretty much looks like it's the people that are pretty much middle class and lower that are mostly being affected by these policies, because it's, you know, they're basically screwing people over that need to get refinanced, that they're just putting them into foreclosure instead, right? And so who needs to get refinanced? Well, the people that can't afford it. Who are the people that can't afford shit right now? Well, the middle class and the people that are poorer than that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's very regressive, and it probably affects minorities in an outsized way, right?
One would have to imagine that that this is affecting minorities
disproportionately. Right?
Disproportionately, although I don't at the moment have the facts on that, one could take a pretty good guess that it's affecting minorities worse than others.
So we have a caller on the line from 409, and we want to ask you, what do you think about this? All right, 409 area code. I don't think they can hear us, so we gotta drop that call. So yeah, I mean the banking system is just so messed up. I mean they've been bailed out multiple times. They've been shown to be completely crooked.
Yeah.
The people at like Bank of America has a huge stake in the Federal Reserve as well. Yeah. You know, and so when it goes back to it, I mean the banking system is kind of like it's very close to the root of many of the oppressing, you know, the oppressive policies that are coming out. Because, you know, it's kind of like they changed over from going from traditional slavery into this new form of debt bondage, right? Mm-hmm. Where everyone's attached via social security number to this system. And the only way that they can uphold this system is by the use of force, right? And that's why they got all these people, you know, overthrowing governments in Libya, Syria, Ukraine, you know, Iraq. They're pressuring Iran, Russia. They're trying to contain Russia. I mean, it's just, you know, it's them trying to uphold that system, right? And the banking system is very instrumental in that, and they reap the rewards, you know, and they make a lot of the money. But it brings me to this next story, because it also involves a banking system. But basically, the Department of Justice is asking, or telling, rather, is telling the banks that, once again, it goes back to these quotas. They're basically, these banks are getting quotas where they have to fill these reports where there's suspicious activity, right? And I just want to read this little scenario that was put out. It was featured on Zero Hedge. I don't know if any of you guys follow Zero Hedge, but mm-hmm. It's a pretty good financial-based blog, more or less. And I see a lot of my economic news there, because at least they talk about stuff that's really happening. I mean, it's a little different than, you know, Yahoo Finance and stuff like that. So here's the scenario. Imagine going to the bank to withdraw some cash. Having some cash on hand is always a prudent strategy, especially today when more and more bank deposits are creeping into negative territory, meaning that you have to pay the banks for the privilege that they gamble with your money. You tell the teller that you'd like to withdraw $5,000 from your account. She hesitates nervously and wants to know why. You try to politely let her know that that's none of the bank's business and that it's your money. The teller disappears for a few minutes, leaving you waiting. When she returns, she tells you that you can collect your money in a few days as they don't have the cash on hand. Slightly irritated because of the inconvenience, you head home. As you pull into your driveway, there's an unexpected surprise waiting for you. Two police officers would like to have a word with you about your intended withdrawal earlier. If this sounds far-fetched, think again, because it could very well become a reality in the land of the free if the Justice Department gets its way.
My God. Yeah, that didn't come from creepypasta, did it?
Nah. So, you know, basically what they're doing is they're using the banks to start looking at your economic activity and then using that to implicate some kind of suspicion. And then the cops, the local police could literally question you about, you know, your intentions with your money and stuff.
How is that legal?
I mean, it's a total erosion of a lot of our rights, you know? So it's like, these bureaucrats really don't think of the Constitution as anything, like, worthwhile anymore. You know, they just shit all over it.
Yeah.
And, like, we've been talking about this whole thing with the Logan Act. And I got some news on John McCain, too.
Oh, yeah?
We can talk about that. Because he's pretty much connected in with this banking system, too, because he's a military-industrial complex. And, you know, it's all part of this. As we mentioned, they have to keep the... In order to keep the financial system in place, they have to use the use of force, right? And so then John McCain comes into the picture, and he's a total warmonger. He gets on all the news programs. He was just on Face the Nation on Sunday, you know, and it's like over and over. This guy is like completely insane, you know? It's like... It's as if it's like Honey Boo Boo on reality TV or something. It's like John McCain on like the biggest talk.
He went off the rails years ago, and it's sad too because he came down on the good side of on a couple of, like, one out of a million issues, but he went off the rails. Proceed, Nick.
So, the implication of this banking thing. It's pretty far-reaching, and it could really, once again, it goes back to me, the most dangerous aspect of it all. Yeah, they filed like 1.2 million suspicious activity reports last year. And I mean, that's kind of a lot when you look at it. It's like, what, 0.3% of the population. So it's a pretty big, you know, it's a lot of people. But, you know, the thing is that it starts to become like normalized. And it's just like, oh yeah, we're just going to completely be, I mean, of course you got no privacy on your phone, you got no privacy on the internet. What, you want bank privacy too? No, we're not going to give you that. You know, and it's like, man, they're really trying to push down these ideas of total surveillance, you know, and also think about it, this is probably also involved with the drug war too, man.
Right.
So they want to see if people are moving, you know, getting money into their bank, pulling money out. Okay, well, there's a good chance this fool's using that 10 grand that he just pulled out to go buy some drugs.
Right.
Well,
was it the size of the withdrawal that set off the...
That's, yeah, the suspicious activity can be considered a withdrawal of $5,000.
$5,000?
Yeah.
You need that for a big screen TV.
Yeah, man, and it's kind of a...
I think.
You know, we have this other story that we're featuring from Activist Post, too, that talks about cashless society and the risks that go along with that and going completely digital. We can't jump into that right now, but you guys can check that out on the anti-media. It's up there in the news. But now we got John McCain, Mr. Supplement the Banking Industry. He's now banned from going into Russia. Have you guys heard about this?
I did not. I'm sure that upsets him.
I haven't.
So the reason that he's banned from going into Russia is because he's a warmonger and he's been openly hostile towards Russia, right? And I don't know. We have a caller on the line from 562. You want to talk about what's going on with John McCain? What do you think about why he was banned from going into Russia? I don't know. Our callers aren't speaking to us tonight.
they're speechless with rage.
Manny, go ahead. What do you think?
Wow, I tell you, these people sometimes, you know, kind of when you get these callers, sometimes I'm trying to wonder who they are, you know?
I'm sure they're cool, man. I mean, I don't know. No.
Oh, okay.
But so this thing with John McCain, right? You guys gotta hear his response, because this is the part that is really pretty hilarious.
Okay.
And this is what John McCain told Politico. I couldn't be more proud of being sanctioned by Vladimir Putin for standing up for freedom and human rights for the Russian people and against Putin's deadly aggression in Ukraine. I will never stop my efforts to support democracy, free speech, and the rule of law in Russia.
However, he will stop his efforts to support democracy in America, unfortunately.
Exactly. That was the thing. I was like, I read that and I was like, how in the hell is this guy saying this? Because he's like, I support all this stuff in Russia, but it's like, hey, dude, what about back here at home, man? Like, and the point I made, because I did a little write-up on this, is that he's talking about human rights and free speech, right, in Russia. The fact of the matter is that here in the U.S., we just got caught torturing people at Holman Square in Chicago. Human rights violation number one, right there.
And as a POW, you would think he would be more vigilant on that.
As a POW, you'd think he'd be against torture. I mean, we're talking about a guy that snitched. John McCain was a snitch, man.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, he says he stands for free speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
PM Beers is going to a retrial for committing an act of quote-unquote biased journalism. She just got tried, and luckily it was a hung jury, so she's still free right now. But she's going to have a retrial. They're trying journalists here in the U.S., locking people up. You got Chelsea Manning, Edward Snowden, Jeremy Hammond.
All heroes, in my opinion.
In my opinion as well. And but they're all going to jail. And John McCain is sitting here saying that he's going to fight for free speech in Russia. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, McCain is, you know, his true identity came out years ago. You know, when he ran, it had been pretty well known, his draconian underbelly with Patriot Act, with various legislation even before 2008. But I mean, I guess my point is he sold his soul long ago to the military industrial complex, and there's no turning back for him. And you're, like you say in your article, the hypocrisy is stunning.
It is, man. It's almost unbelievable that he would say such a thing, because, you know, the other thing is that in Ukraine they claim to be fighting for, like, democracy and stuff, but unfortunately that's not exactly the case. You know what I mean? It's the prime minister is a guy that wasn't exactly elected. And he was the guy that the U.S. State Department was found to be in a leaked call. They found out that they had handpicked this guy weeks before the quote-unquote revolution ever took place. I mean, the Ukrainian revolution was basically a textbook CIA, you know, induced operation. Yeah, was there legitimate, you know, concern within the people of Ukraine? Yes, and that's exactly why the CIA took advantage of this situation. And then they end up having their puppets in power. You know, Yats, the dude that's the prime minister, he's a total, he was a former central banker.
What's his name? Yats.
Yats. Yeah, and Victoria Nuland, like, named this guy in his lead call, and he's like, that's our guy that we want to have. And sure enough, he's the prime minister. But yeah, I mean, and so not only is he ignoring the fact that free speech, that civil rights, that human rights are being crushed in the United States as we speak right now, Holman Square is still open. There's still people in there being detained. Probably even worse now, because they're worried that people are watching. They don't want to be taking people in and out. I mean, there's probably people that have been stuck in there for weeks, if not months.
This is the Chicago mini FEMA,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
So not only is he ignoring all that, but he's blatantly lying about the fact that he's trying to do good for the Ukrainian people. This is all about geopolitics, man. It's about stopping the oil flow from Russia and allowing the, you know, Gulf states to supply the oil to Europe. I mean, this is total textbook CIA operation stuff, man. And I mean, more and more evidence is coming forward that that a lot of it has been, you know. And so, I mean,
this is a guy that wanted to run for president. Why would he take pride in not being able to have diplomatic relations with a country that could very well lead us into the next great cold, second great cold war, possibly third great war? It's stunning. And when he was running for president, this would have killed the presidency immediately. Of course, he doesn't care about that because he's not running for office. But for him to be bragging about not being able to go into Russia and proceed with diplomatic relations is just further testimony to his character, I think.
Yeah.
And he's the ultimate scumbag. You got to understand. He did propaganda radio for North Korea. For them, when he was a POW, dude. He's the biggest scumbag ever.
There's a huge list. Rolling Stone needs to probably do a top 100 greatest scumbag of all time, but McCain would certainly be on the list, I agree.
Traitor to his own country, came back, married a billionaire's daughter. I mean, guy's just the biggest scum in the world, dude. There's no one worse than that guy.
Sounds like Kerry, too.
At least Kerry robbed people himself. He didn't marry into it.
Yeah, he did. He married Hines.
John McCain is the perfect example of failed democracy, man. People actually vote for this guy.
Kerry married an heiress, too, just to set the record straight.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, at least he wasn't a career politician.
Kerry, to his credit, when he came back from Vietnam, protested the war. So he went and fought.
And now,
unlike
yeah.
Bush, he went and fought, came back and critiqued it. Unlike Bush, who didn't fought, and then led us into more war.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny. Bush ran on, like, this humble foreign policy, right? Like,
right.
Stop this in the world. And then Kerry, man, he comes back. He fights in Vietnam, comes back, protests the war, and now he's the biggest cheerleader for war.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's the thing. I mean,
yeah
on Iran, he's like, actually seemingly, you know, at least on the surface. And keep in mind, man, this could all just be politics these guys are playing. So there may not even be a deal that is even going to materialize with Iran. Chances are there isn't going to be a deal. This is all just politics.
What if they already have it?
This is TV, is what it is. It's TV.
I mean, what if they found out they already had it, man? And there's really nothing left to do except try to save face. You can't posture anymore.
I mean, you know, the world would be better off if that were the situation, because then at least they'd have the deterrent and then we couldn't just go in and bomb them again, you know? And so that was the thing that Libya lacked, and that was the thing that, you know, Syria and Iraq, all of them lacked the deterrent. You know, when we went in and overthrew Iraq, they were a pretty peaceful country, man. And then Afghanistan, yeah, I mean, the Taliban are like horrible, but still. The Taliban now, there was just an article that came out from the Pontiac Tribune a few days ago that shows that now the Taliban are being replaced by ISIS in Afghanistan. So, I mean, it's even worse.
It's 10 times worse. I mean, think about what they're doing.
Which is what everyone predicted. Everyone knew there'd be a power vacuum there and that it would just get worse.
So all of this war that we've been doing, man, yeah, we deposed Saddam Hussein. Yeah, we supposedly got Osama bin Laden and stuff. Well, what have we done, really? Nothing. We've probably made the situation worse because we bankrupted the country. Nobody got the morale to fight anymore. And, I mean, everybody that doesn't have the morale, they're probably right. We don't really – we shouldn't be over there fighting right now, because what's it going to do? We're just going to have an endless war. And it more and more – like every day it seems more and more like some kind of Orwellian move where they had these just perpetual wars just to purposely waste resources – just to keep the people having to work, because if they had an excess, then it would defunct the system, you know? And so, like, sometimes it almost seems like, you know, so many things that Orwell predicted came true. And it almost seems like this whole perpetual war thing is part of this the way that they can just maintain control over people, because they have to tax people so much to pay for the defense, and they have to, you know, supply so much of the labor force through the military and stuff, and it provides them with like a lot of control. So, I mean, to me, it's just a really Orwellian way of doing economics.
It'd be a good article. Someone's probably already done it, but fact-checking, go meticulously into Orwell's archives and actually see how accurate he was.
Fact-check him?
Maybe do the same thing with Huxley, too.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Let's do it.
Look for that in a month or two.
Yeah, that'll take... that's going to take more than a day, I think.
It'll take a while. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff we want to work on.
Wasn't Orwell like a distant royalty or something too? Like he had some inside insight, didn't he not?
Yeah, he was Illuminati, man.
No. He was something, right? I mean, he had a rich or famous group of people that he was related to. I know that.
He had to have, because he was pretty well embedded in the political scene there. I mean, in his later writings, I mean, after he finished his novel, I mean, he was extremely political. So yeah, he had to have some major connections there.
Yeah, he predicted too many things.
He really did.
And this whole thing with McCain is like doublespeak, you know, saying that he's standing for human rights and stuff. I mean, that's laughable. This guy's responsible for who knows how many deaths around the world. He should be, you know, he's up there with Kissinger and them. You know, these are people that should be tried for war crimes. They shouldn't be running the country.
There was a citizen's arrest attempt on Kissinger. You know that?
I saw that by Code Pink, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know how serious it was.
And guess who called it the most disgraceful thing he's ever seen in the Senate? One, John McCain. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
They love each
other. They brought
Kissinger
in there to give a little testimony about foreign policy, because those are the guys they listen to. That just recently happened, like, what, a few 3 weeks ago?
Yep. McCain loves his jowls.
We should get serious about arresting these guys, though, like legitimately get them.
Yes.
You know? Like, we can't just be throwing it up there, you know, for a photo op. We got to actually arrest
Maybe we can pay Blackwater a little bit more than they're getting paid now, and they can turn on them.
Now, probably, man. I don't think they have any... Like,
crowdfund it.
I wrote a story about that, actually.
There's a Bitcoin site that crowdfunds
assassinations.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to advocate any of that, but it's out there.
We're not advocating anything. We're just saying it's out there and it's going to be used.
We're crowdfunding the lawful arrests of criminals. I mean, if they want to get violent, then that's on them.
Good point.
Yeah, man. You know, because here's the thing: we talked about how the Constitution is just completely getting shit on by the politicians and stuff. They don't give a damn about the Constitution. What is the Constitution? I mean, to them, it's nothing. They use it against us. They use it, you know, to prosecute us. Obviously, for Patty, PM Beers, and Anaheim James, the journalist being tried in Fullerton, the Constitution does not apply. But, you know, all these guys in the Senate, all these guys that signed on to that Iran letter, they all broke the Logan Act. And it's a federal law, you know, and it's part of the Constitution. So, you know, these guys, if they're going to charge us for drug crimes and stuff, and keep in mind, drug crimes are unconstitutional laws, because nowhere in the Constitution does it say that they should regulate what's going into your body.
Have any of the 47 senators been able to leave Washington, D.C.? I wonder.
No way it's going to happen. Obama pardoned Bush, he pardoned everyone, they're going to pardon them. And there's people that claim that the Logan Act wasn't even violated. They use doublespeak to get out of that stuff. The Democrats probably, I mean, they were probably wanted them to do that. It probably is part of one of their little games. I don't know, it's a conspiracy theory. To answer your question.
What's the result, though? That's the question, is what's going to ultimately happen from this?
Well, if they're able to sabotage talks, Democrats look like they were against war, so they get those political points. But then they get these extremists like Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton to come out there and do the dirty work to sabotage any kind of deal. War goes ahead anyway. The military contractors get their money, which is what's important for them anyway. I wouldn't be surprised to find it all out at all that there was collusion between the parties on that.
But the most important thing, the elephant in the room, is: are we an ally or an enemy of Israel? What in the hell is our relationship now after this?
Yeah.
Because we're not neutral with them, I'll tell you that. We can't fund them on one side and then allow them to infiltrate us with whatever their spy network is over here and be totally cool with it and then infiltrate theirs and act like we're all cool.
So, you know, we talk about the arrest and will it actually happen. Well, we got this dude right here, Bob Menendez, New Jersey Democrat senator. I don't know who knows about this guy, but he's been, I've seen video of him in Kiev. He's a cheerleader of a arming, basically he's basically McCain's counterpart in the Democratic Party in the Senate. And he's a pretty high ranking dude, but now he's been caught up in corruption charges. And he may actually, this senator may actually get arrested.
Yay!
They don't know when or where, but if he gets indicted,
but not for the Logan Act.
You can get arrested, but not for the Logan Act. But what I'm saying is, it's not, you know, it's not that far out there to start arresting these guys.
No.
This guy got caught peddling influence. He was taking bribes for travel expenses from this guy, and in turn, he was, you know, massaging him and, you know, doing things for him via government, and he got caught. So I mean, the first thing is, pretty much all these guys do this stuff. All these senators. I mean, I doubt a single one of them are completely innocent. There's a few senators out there that actually have principles and stuff. I can't really name them. I can't really say who they are. Some of them have principles on different things.
I think Al Franken is one personally.
Some are good on certain things like the drug war and, you know, civil rights and other things like that. But I mean, there's probably a lot of senators out there that are guilty of corruption. We know that half the Senate is guilty of the Logan Act. I mean, these guys are the ones that are supposed to be the utmost example of law and order and the rule of law, like John McCain puts it. But at the same time, they're the ones breaking it, you know. And John McCain said he's a fan of rule of law. Well, why did he break the Logan Act? Why did he break the Constitution, man? Are the people of Arizona actually going to let that guy walk, dude? There should be some patriots out there in Arizona that are actually to the right far enough that are actually against John McCain, man. And those guys need to go out there and citizen arrest this dude.
I had a full-fledged fantasy the other day that I was able to approach John McCain. And it doesn't, nothing romantic happens, but it was, did I get to
approach? Kick to the balls?
Yes, okay, that's as romantic as it got, but it was more of a verbal confrontation. But there's actually a couple of good YouTube videos online where people approach him and make him do his little chicken dance stutter where he smiles and looks very uncomfortable and looks psychotic in the eyes because he is psychotic.
He gets a PTSD flashback and he just blanks out.
I'm not going to laugh at
that. That's messed up, dude.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, he uses it kind of as almost like a gimmick.
Yeah, man, the guy's a character, man. He's a tool.
He's an actor.
Tool, right? He's a tool of this system, and...
Well, they all are, like Nick said.
The fool needs to be running to the Hague, not running for office. They need to be tried for war crimes and stuff, and that's just... To me, that's just, you know, how it's going to have to be. Otherwise, he lets these guys get rid of this stuff, and it's just gonna be more of the same, right? It's never gonna change.
We gotta take the bankers to court, and we gotta take everyone who took us into Iraq, the entire Project for a New America Century junta, that whole cadre of bullshitting. People, we got to take them all to court, try them all, and that's the only way. It's the only way we can get this country back on track is to defeat corporatism by bringing down the banks, which are not too big to fail. The people are too big to fail. There's your cliche of the day, but it is couldn't be more true in my opinion.
So we have a new caller on the line. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hold on, we got two callers on. Let's go to Braun first.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man.
So, I mean, we're going over all these stories here, and we got this Bob Menzies. And I know you're pretty familiar with the situation in Ukraine, but he was the guy that was over there in Ukraine cheerleading from the Senate. And now he's basically about to be indicted on corruption charges. He may be detained pretty soon here once he's indicted. And they're just the talk of the matter is, when's it going to happen? Because he was caught peddling influence. But, you know, what does it say? To me, it's like, well, if this guy's just about to get, you know, incarcerated for corruption, why in the hell was he the guy over there that everybody was listening to in Ukraine that was telling us, hey, we got to arm these guys, we got to start sending them tanks, we got to start sending them weapons and all this stuff? It's like, what does that say? I mean, it's like the guys out there trying to be the experts on foreign policy are coming home and getting indicted on corruption.
He's a bad example for our children.
So if you ever put in charge of anything, you notice people come running when they need things, and then they disappear when they don't need anything. And what I've noticed about Ukraine is that, especially with Menendez and this war effort, it seems like there's only a few seats at the table for peddling influence. And if you're not in one of those seats, then you're kind of at the you're under the influence of someone who is at the table. And what it seems like is, of all the people that have their hands in the pot of kind of war spoils, there's a period of basically shaking out, so people are losing their access to the table. And in this case, I think with Menendez, I don't know, but what I think it is you're essentially not you have to be investigated almost sort of to be in the club and pass the above suspicion, or you could be investigated as a way of putting you on the sideline. So it could be any number of things. I wouldn't get caught up in one person per se unless we have the specific info in that sense, but I think it's more indicative of what's happening in Ukraine overall is right now there's the plan in Ukraine didn't work. The Western subversion plan, which comes from many angles, it hasn't worked yet, whatever it is. And at this point, the plan's got to change, and you're seeing officials in the Kiev government change. You're seeing them having to restructure this entire military offensive against the separatists in the east, and it's all unraveling at a really bad time. There was actually a story up about quote unquote pocket armies. There's a lot of armed paramilitary factions and parts of the Ukrainian military and mercenaries over there that are loyal to all different parties based on whatever it is that they're leaving in, where they sit in the country, where they live in the country, or what kind of access to resources they have, whether they're actually being paid well to defend whatever it is they are. But the other day there was one of these factions that basically went in and took over part of the Ukraine state-owned oil company, Transnafta. And they go basically surround the offices and supposedly they were looking for some paperwork. They wanted to secure some things. Nobody really knows what's going on, retaining reliability unless you have a good source. But this much was known, that basically one of these oligarchs over there in Ukraine is not really wanting to lose his seat at the table. And, something extreme like this happened out of the middle of nowhere. And that's pretty much what's happening over there. It's basically a free-for-all. So you don't really know who's connected to what. You've got Hunter Biden, who is an executive at a gas company with plots in Ukraine.
And that's Joe Biden's son, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy that Joe Biden's son is working for the state gas company in Ukraine. I mean, how nuts
is that? No, I'm not saying that Hunter Biden is working for the state gas company. I'm saying that Hunter Biden is working with another gas company, so a private firm that's over there. The story about Kolomaisky, who was leading this small army that basically took over part of the oil company. Those are two separate incidents, but you've got all kinds of dirty hands in Ukraine. You don't know what people are really doing unless you have good information to look at facts as far as gas and oil resources, contracts, and things like that. You can't fully tell until you know what you're looking at. But, you know, what you can see is that there's the Kiev government is failing. This offensive on the separatists in the east is failing. And basically, at this point, the West and whoever's in this coalition is doubling down on whatever they're putting into Ukraine. So you notice that they, they've been matching Russia step for step with all these war games and military parades. And they've got a military parade right now. The army is not the army. NATO forces are road marching equipment about 1,000 miles through 6 countries on the western border of Russia. You know, right there north of Ukraine. And, you know, it's like some of them are exercises, some of them are bravado. You know, some of it's probably a cover for other things, you know, moving back and forth across both borders. At this point, you don't know anything until the battle starts to break out. And the next battle guaranteed is going to be Mariupol, which is, so you have the hardest fought battles in the east of Ukraine on the Russian border. Where the separatists pretty much are in control. And then you have Crimea, which is to the southwest. And there's a strip of land in between connecting those two areas, which is where Mariupol is. That area is basically going to be next for Kiev to not lose and for the rebels to take. So at this point, they're just kind of gearing up for that battle. So it's been relatively quiet. But the next within the next week, I expect to see headlines coming out of that area where you'll see basically the whatever comes out of that battle is going to define the next stage of the conflict, because if that area is able to be connected for the separatists and for Russia, you're going to start to see all kinds of different transit links and business connections pop up, because it's that's kind of what they're working towards in this autonomous section of the East.
Yeah, and it's such a geopolitical chess piece because, that's a lot of the distribution locations for the oil industry, you know, coming out of Russia. A lot of it goes through Ukraine to go into Europe, and it kind of goes back. And that's why Ukraine always kind of, to me, ties always into Syria, what's going on there, and, of course, Iraq, where they're trying to build this Gulf State pipeline instead of, you know, allowing Russia its access, instead of allowing Russia its access to this European market, which is a huge marketplace. They're trying to contain Russia and then build the pipeline coming up that has to go through Iraq and Syria into Turkey and then up through Europe. And so to me, it's all connected. And it's all part of this more evil scenario that's going on that, once again, kind of ties back into the banking system, the Fed, the Bretton Woods Agreement, you know, and Nixon, and all this stuff that happened when we went bankrupt. And it, in the end, it goes back to war, man. We were spending way too much money on Vietnam. The country literally ran out of money to spend. And then instead of having the monetary system we had, Nixon decided, okay, we're just going to make this new monetary system, and what it's going to be based upon is us forcing people to use it, more or less. And then that's the petrodollar system, man, and it all kind of ties back. And Ukraine, Syria, to me, always connects back to the petrodollar and trying to maintain that system for the powers that be, because that's where they're all mostly invested in, and that's how they make all their money, right? So it's like, to me, it's like, all these lives are being sacrificed, 200,000 in Syria, 20,000 in Libya or more, 50,000 in Ukraine. They're all being sacrificed for this economic thing, this government slash economic order that these guys are trying to continue to maintain. And they're just all this collateral damage in the form of people dying and being, you know, killed in war and drone strikes and airstrikes, whatever it is. To them, it's just not that big of a thing. And it's more about the economics of it than it is about the human life. And that's why it's so, you know, that's why this whole thing in Ukraine, man, it never gets talked about in the mainstream media. And when it does, it's like, oh my gosh, Russia is doing horrible stuff. It's like, you know, they never show the other side of the story.
This is a little bit of a tangent. What do you think about the plane? This is a while back, but, you know, the plane crash that happened. I mean, what did we ever get a definitive reading on what the hell happened there?
I don't know. The plane crash.
Did Russia shoot it out?
It's been blamed on Russia by the media, more or less.
Right.
There's never actually been a truly.
Let's say, for the sake of propaganda, that Russia did not shoot that plane down. But let's just go with that, right? So it's not even really useful to figure out who would try to shoot it down, because there's too many possibilities. What is useful is what's left over after it. It looked like it was an excuse to go to war and to make Putin the bad guy. And what you have now is this propaganda chess match. And the only thing that's going to resolve it is one of these sides, one of these factions, is going to make a move which dictates the next step of the conflict. And at this point, like I said, the rebels are basically winning. The eastern part of Ukraine doesn't want to be under this corrupt Kiev government. All that you're going to see left out of this is bickering. And I'm talking specifically about MH17 now, about over the blame. And you notice there hasn't been much talk about it because they can't prove anything coming out of Russia, because the forensics don't make sense of how that plane got shot out of the sky at 35,000 feet. Because most likely, it was something in the air, not on the ground. Because if it was something on the ground, that means it had to be pretty advanced, which the rebels either don't have or Russia would have had to supply. So if Russia had to supply it, then where's the evidence? Where's the photos? We would have seen those photos everywhere. And they're not even like pushing photos as a lie. They just don't talk about it. Right?
Is it possible that it was the Ukraine being armed by us?
I mean, that's anything's possible in that region at this point.
Yeah, man, and that's the thing. The story's kind of fallen off, and CNN's gone on to its next plane crash and all that stuff with their 24-hour coverage. But in the end, I mean, most of this stuff, especially the one in Ukraine, was used as, you know, propaganda, and it was used to foment distrust in Russia and blame it on the Russians. You know, may or may not have been the Eastern rebels that shot it down, but in the end, the media laid blame on Putin or whatever. And it's, you know, it's kind of a sad state of affairs when your media is trying to, you know, create the public opinion to support what the government's doing, because in my opinion, the reason the freedom of the press is so prominently noted in the Bill of Rights is because it's something to be used to disagree with the government. And so that's why it's so important to continue this stuff with the independent media, right? Keep pushing it on. Keep sharing those articles from your favorite sites, even if it isn't ours. Sharing them. Give them internet,
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.